Thank you, ladies. Just what is the will of God for us? As long as we individually and as a race continue to think of the things of the world and not on things of the Spirit, we will never know. Didn't Jesus the Christ tell us, "My kingdom is not of this world. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." A healing is a correction. A correction takes place in mind. We do not worry about the things of the world. Correct our thoughts, and our outer world takes care of itself. It takes care of our bodies. It takes care of our environment. It takes care of our relationships and our supply. God has given each and every one of us a sound mind. He has given us a perfect mind. Everything that comes from God is perfect and complete and good. A healing is a return to the original state of perfection. Today's lesson is on spiritual healing. A lesson that, when applied, will change our lives forever. It will bring about a change in consciousness. We will see things differently. We will feel things differently. We will know things differently. We will be new men and new women. The will of God is perfection, and it is directed to the spiritual man. And this perfection will be made manifest on earth as we, as individuals, and as a race, become receptive to this perfection which indwells in each of us. The lesson this morning has to do with the perfect spiritual creation which we are, the children of God. Not the physical flesh and the bones persona, which has been given dominance in limited beliefs. There are many good people on earth. You know that. There are those that are charitable. There are those that are polite. Those that are courteous. There are those who try not to offend others by the way they dress or their manners. And there are those that practice saying the right things at the right times. And these people mean well. They really do. They wish good for everybody, and they won't hesitate to go out of their way to assist and help others. They are lovely people. They are good people. They are sincere. And they do their very, very best to live according to their understanding of how we should live on this earth. It is quite true that on a strictly mental level, we can provide comfort and other benefits to many individuals. Through mental discipline, we can become good, fine, helpful, and sincere human beings. Through the use of disciplined mentality, through strong will, we can manipulate things in such a way that we can bring benefit to ourselves and to others. But this is all done through mental power. But this power can be directed for good or for evil. It can be directed for the benefit of mankind, or for the harm and destruction of mankind. We can do whatever we force our wills to do. And as long as we are doing things according to our human understanding, no matter how well intentioned, error thinking is always present. A power that can be used for good or for evil is not spiritual. It is mental. It is limited. It is only as effective as the state of that individual's understanding of life. The power of God is total good. It is complete. It is absolute good. It is a power when expressed in any given situation. It does not produce winners, and it does not produce losers. It produces only winners. Everybody benefits. This power cannot be manipulated. This power cannot be directed to one individual and withheld from another. If we are attempting to pray for a particular person and not another one, it is human thought, and we are using only our human mind. We do not and cannot use the power of God. Not ever. This power uses us. Our will, the physical human, is not the will of God. In any conflict, people in general tend to identify the good guys and the bad guys, the black hats, the white hats. They see a right and they see a wrong. They see a just cause and they see an unjust cause. But there is not injustice in the world. We tend to believe that there is injustice everywhere, but in truth, there is not. We live in an orderly universe, a universe that is governed by law. It is a law that is set into motion by man, individually and collectively. Every single thing that we are experiencing individually and as a race is because it is within the realm of our consciousness. We have not seen deep enough into things to know that our thoughts are the cause of the condition of our world today. If you don't believe me, take a look around you. Take a look at our world today and tell me what you see. You see hatred. You see violence. You see illness. You see poverty. You see confusion and chaos and frustration and lies and distrust. So many well-intentioned people see an appearance, and immediately they want to play God. They say, "I will pray for this good man, but not for that bad one." Or they say, "This person is a member of my family, and God knows he has his faults, but he's right. It is the other person that is causing him his misfortune." Isn't it always the other and never the one that you care about or the one that you love? It is we in our human understanding who make the judgment of what is right and what is wrong. If we listen to the news or we watch the political debates, we can see clearly how we as individuals and as groups of individuals make erroneous judgments. The power of God expresses through us and is in us and as us. We, every single one of us, is a channel for His glorious power. We are all instruments of divine mind. It is the divine mind, this infinite intelligence, that knows what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Not we. Not we as individuals or as a group know what to do, when to do it, or how it is to be done. Our responsibility is not to do. Our only responsibility is to know God and to know Him aright. The divine infinite intelligence is always saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I have ways you know not of." And yet, the race goes about attempting to tell God how to do things and when to do them and to whom to do them. We do not tell God anything. We allow God to be God. Everything that our society, the race, does from a human understanding is prejudiced. It's prejudged. The race is in a state of unfolding consciousness. It does not yet see things as they are, but only as it is in consciousness. Jesus paid John the Baptist the supreme compliment when he said, "Among those born of women, there is not a greater one than John the Baptist." With this statement, Jesus was calling John the greatest human being ever born. How would we feel if Jesus walked into this sanctuary today and said that to one of us? But being the best human being possible is still a limitation. For the Master said, "Yet he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." He that has received just a glimpse of the one eternal life, the unity of all things, is greater than he that lives completely for human expectations. As long as we, all of society, the whole race, identifies themselves as of this world, we miss the point. We are not human beings. We are spiritual beings. We are the sons and the daughters of God. The shadow on the wall, regardless of how much it may seem to have a life of its own, is still just a shadow. It could be considered the epitome of egotism to try to tell God how to answer a prayer. Yet millions and millions are telling God every minute of every day how to do things. They are saying things like, "Now God, if you get me this job with this salary, I will be very happy." Or, "God, please tell my mate to shut up and be quiet every now and then, and get rid of that supervisor, and then I will be able to pray to you peacefully." Very few brave souls, if any, would attempt to tell Yo-Yo Ma how to play his cello. Very few individuals would tell David Baldacci how to write a novel. And very few would tell Bill Belichick how to coach the Boston Patriots football team. But we don't hesitate for a minute to tell God how he should do things. We always seem to know what's best, especially if it's for someone else. In spite of infinite intelligence telling us, "My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts," we continue to manipulate and force things to happen. The greatest teacher the world has ever known was aware of the intelligence and the wisdom of divine mind. This teacher acknowledged and obeyed this higher mind. He acknowledged that he could not do anything on his own. This mind, which Jesus called the Father, was the one that did the works. He was only the channel. He was the instrument of God's will. And didn't he tell us, "I am the way, I am the door. All things are delivered unto me of the Father." When we are not aware of the perfection within us, we become caught up in a vicious cycle. Through the law of cause and effect, we experience the results of our mistaken human thinking. So often, we meet an individual or individuals who seem to be burdened with problems. These people voice fear, loneliness, and general unhappiness. They claim they do not know which way to turn. And so they turn from one miserable condition to another, and another, and another. and nothing ever seems to work out for them. Today, their car did not start. Yesterday, the refrigerator broke down. And today, they were informed that they had a disease. And all during this time, this individual does not know why this is happening, and they cannot correct the situation. Why? Well, the why is very simple. They are using the same consciousness that brought them the condition in the first place. It is like moving dirt from one corner of the room to another. The dirt's still there. It's just been rearranged and moved. There are those men and those women who stop drinking through mental power, and then they begin smoking. And then they stop smoking, and they begin eating junk food. And then they stop eating, and then they go on to something else. And on and on and on it goes. There will always be something else, because the cause has not changed. It is the effect that is being manipulated. In order to change things for the better, we must change our consciousness or cause. We must change the way we look at things. We must change our manner of thinking. When we decide to change our present habits of thinking, our present views, our opinions, and our beliefs, only then can we become receptive to the infinite intelligence which dwells within us. Anyone from any place in life can become a healing power in the world. A carpenter became such a power, as did a camel driver and a nobleman's son. It is not the person who is the power. It is the Spirit of God expressing through as the individual. You cannot separate the two. Consciousness expresses as the embodiment of the individual. The same Spirit that expressed in Krishna, in Buddha, Elijah, Jesus, and Paul, this Spirit expresses through us right now. It is limited only by our awareness of our divinity. There is but one power which expresses through whatever channel allows itself to be used. Didn't Jesus state, "Why do you call me good? There is but one who is good, and that one is God." Here again, Jesus is saying that in his total submission to the infinite wisdom, it was this power only that was doing the things that were attributed to him. He was simply mirroring outward his consciousness of his divinity. All of us will attain this awareness of life someday. This is God's will for us. In this consciousness, we will become magnets of total good. We attract more and more of our divinity. We attract harmony. We attract order and uplifting of our environment. And we will heal the sick, and we will raise the dead. But it will not be us doing this. It will be our consciousness of the presence of God expressing through the channels we have opened up by letting go of our opinions and our limited beliefs. For the Father within each of us can change anything, correct anything, and heal anything. The power, call it Father, intuitive prompting, an inner voice, we can call it whatever we wish. This power will lead us, it will guide us, it will protect us. When we enter the closet of our minds, when we shut the door to the senses and the intellect, in quietness and in receptivity, we call the mind which was in Christ Jesus to function in our lives. We are told in the scriptures that God does not speak to man in a storm, not in a strong wind, nor in fire. God is not in our words, nor in human understanding. God speaks to us all. His will for each of us is heard only when there is an absence of words and thoughts. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your sides. And just relax your body for a moment. Shake off the stresses and the frustrations and the anxieties and any fear. And be still. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly. And just relax. Relax and be at peace in the solitude of this holy place. And let go. Let go of the human condition with its opinions, its confusion, its chaos and frustrations. Let go. Let go of all that is not good and pure and holy and just. And go within to the center of your being where our Father waits, his arms open, his heart bursting with love. And let us be still. Let us in the quietness and stillness know that this sanctuary is infinite love. And all that we could ever pray for is already here. Our Father is saying to each and every one, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, not by might nor by power, but my Spirit. My wisdom goes before you, and I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Father, you are here now in all of your love, and all of your peace, and all of your power. And I thank you for your omnipresence, your omniscience, and your omnipotence, which guides, counsels, protects, and loves me always. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love, his wisdom, and his peace. Amen.